From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk polite responses. There's a whole lot of things you can say when someone thanks you for something, but what do they all really mean? I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Quickly, I will say hi to you, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras, because we also have to say hi to some listeners from KXCV and KRNW in Missouri. You've been with us for a couple of weeks. Go Bearcats! And also, we would like to say welcome back to our listeners from KECG out of the West Contra Costa Unified School District in California. This I really love because they are a student-run station. And so I say welcome back because they were on their summer programming for a while after joining us last spring. And so they're back with us now. It's really cool that we have a student-run station running You're Saying It Wrong as well. So welcome to all of you and welcome back to all of you. We're really excited to have you here. Also, I think go Gauchos for KECG there.
You covered it all, Fletcher.
Yes, you did, Fletcher.
Now, that's a pro. Okay, you kids that are listening, this is what you're going to do when you get older.
That's
right. You're
going
to pretend you know everything.
That is pretty much what we do here, isn't it?
Yeah. And you don't know anything at all. That's the key thing that really got me.
But you could still be a success.
I actually, when I was about 25, I pretty much knew everything, I thought.
Yep.
And then I went real downhill. Now I know nothing.
Ross, you were much better. I always assumed I didn't know much, and I'm still happily bumbling along.
I cringe sometimes. I remember some parent asked me some advice on their younger, I was 25, and their younger person was like 18 going to school. And they said, what's your advice? Like, how have you gotten where you got? And I just think of the puffed head, smug head that I was. Like, it's interesting. It's like, ah! I don't even want to listen to that guy anymore. He's long gone.
Well, we got a couple of questions from listeners that'll help us kind of jump off today. We'll start with Kelly in New Orleans. WWNO there in New Orleans is another relatively recent station who's picked up You're Saying It Wrong. So welcome again to all of you. And Kelly, we're glad to hear from you. Kelly asks, this is wrong, isn't it? It's a tweet I read by a professor I follow, and I'm sure it's wrong, but wanted to A, be sure, and B, know exactly why it's wrong. This is the tweet. But only Dr. Courtney and myself have transcribed full letters, and only us, with the team, have full access to the letters. In September 2023, George's team, Dr. Courtney, Professor Questier, whose expertise on the period knows no bounds, and myself have worked together. Kelly, I feel confident in saying that there's a lot wrong with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first thing, let's get rid of this first one. Only us with the team have full access. That is not correct. It's the subject there is we, so it should, only we with the team have full access.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Just take out with the team and you can figure out what it should be. Only we have full access.
Exactly. But I think there's another problem here.
And I think ourselves should explain what the problem is. Yes, it's the myself. Only Dr. Courtney and myself have transcribed, and Professor Questier and myself have worked together.
Mm-hmm.
We, as you know, you probably remember, we've talked about this in the past because this comes up a lot. People hear the myself or use the myself and don't know why it's wrong.
Myself, himself, etc., they're called reflexive pronouns. Why are they called reflexive? Because they reflect backwards on the person. So basically, in general, if you're talking about myself, that means you're referring back to me. I myself think. And I think one really great easy rule of thumb is, in general, if you have I in a sentence, myself you can use.
Mm-hmm.
I myself, as an intensifier, think this is wrong. That's okay. In this case, though, it's not, because it's not referring to backwards to anyone.
Yeah, I remember I learned this from the two of you. I was never, it always seemed a little weird to use myself, but it wasn't clear to me when you should use it and when you shouldn't. And learning that it is reflexive, that it reflects, that really helped, because then I know that if I have I in the sentence, then I can reflect back onto that I. So I myself, or I don't like this question myself, because that myself is reflecting the I. If there's no I in there, there's nothing to reflect.
You got it. But I think what does happen, and Kathy and I have talked about this, is people, and to some degree justifiably, they get a little bit unsure and scared. Is it going to be me or is it I right here? Mm-hmm.
But more than that, I think people feel like they're being a little egotistical or something if they keep saying I, and so they feel like they're being a little more modest if they say myself.
What we've noticed is, like, yes, myself is being it's really increased in usage. And the ones that we notice the most is that what Ross had said, you're scared of the I or the me. You don't know which is right, so you just chuck in myself. B, a lot of times people think it sounds more formal, like you just think it sounds a little classier. But yeah, I think a lot of it is ego, because the people that use myself all the time, they think that saying me sounds egotistical.
Mm-hmm.
So saying myself, it sounds friendlier. It sounds sort of like, you know, let's arrange a call between myself, yourself, and Ross.
Yep.
Let's keep that in our heads, because I have a point we're going to make on the next part of the show that leads right back to what you just said, Kathy.
Now so, I'm excited. I'm done.
I myself am excited too. Yes.
But it's true. And it's funny, though. I mean, I got to admit, and I said this in the past when we discussed this, I do sometimes say myself when I'm caught and I'm like, oh, crap, I don't know if it's I or me. So I go, yes, you know, so-and-so and myself will be there. And I know it grates on a lot of people's nerves. I just want to say I'm not alone. And B, this has been happening. People have complained about this since the 19th century. So this is not like necessarily a 21st century issue.
And I think given what you just said, even if it's wrong, it sounds less wrong than using me or I in an incorrect sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like wrong, but it's not horribly wrong. Whereas if I go, me and him went to the store, that's horribly wrong, you know?
Although I hear that a lot.
I do too.
Thank you to the two of you for explaining that to us.
Oh, of course.
Oh, interesting. Of course. Interesting that you respond that way, Kathy.
That was a slow segue, Kathy and Ross. Fletcher did well. We blew it. Yeah.
Well, we did get another question from Paul who asked about this, responding to thank you with something like, of course.
He said, I've recently noticed that younger people, say 30 years old or less, are a lot more likely to reply to thanks with, of course. I would personally say, you're welcome, sure, or no problem. Typically, I hear the of course response when talking with servers at restaurants or other server-based workers. Is it just me, or is of course increasing in usage?
It's interesting to me that he's specifically pointing to of course, because my assumption would have been that he was having trouble with anything other than you're welcome, but he's okay with, with sure
oh, no,
or
okay
no problem. Yeah.
First of all, Fletcher, let me ask you, what do you say? Thank you, Fletcher.
I would say something like, yeah, sure.
Okay, that's interesting.
But if it were something that I would be doing in the natural course of my job or, you know, my relation to you, then I might very easily say, of course.
What do you say, Ross?
I say no prob.
Yeah, I say no problem, too.
I say no prob. I don't even say no problem.
Well, Ross,
oh, my God.
Cool,
okay,
Ross,
well, that does it. I'm shocked.
I know, that horrified me. I want to go. Actually, I want to quickly go. We had a family discussion on this, and a cousin of ours was here, and she asked her family of five, do you want me to go through it? And I was really interested.
Yes,
it was
please.
All across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Ross wants to know something. What do each of you say in response if someone says thank you? First, we have a 21-year-old. Who knows it all. I know about this discourse. And yes, I'm more likely to say no problem or no worries. If I didn't know the person very well, I would say that. If I knew them, I might say, oh, sure. Yeah, that's my most common response. And of course. What about on TikTok? Well, then I might say you're welcome if it's a formal sort of situation. Then we have another person, 50 years old, no prob. Oh, I like that. Hmm. Of course, and no prob. Hmm. Almost never say you're welcome.
Wow.
Way too formal.
Even a 50-year-old. Okay.
Yep. Then we have a 23-year-old. I say sure, yep, yeah, or no problem. Never you're welcome? No, sometimes maybe. It seems passively aggressive,
Yep.
Sort of to say you're welcome.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. And then we have a 15-year-old. I just say yeah, enthusiastically. And then we have the mother who's a professor. She says you're welcome or no worries. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is fascinating. The two things is, first of all, I never say you're welcome either, ever. I don't, mm-hmm. I can't think of the last time I've used it. But I'm fascinated by, in spite of the fact that Paul says he's noticing, of course, we're hearing more no problems or sures or yeahs than of course.
I would easily say of course. I don't know that I've noticed it. It seems, so I have opinions about a lot of these. You're welcome is interesting because I would say when I was in my early 20s, I remember, so this was, let's say 25 years ago, I remember my dad complaining about service workers saying no problem instead of you're welcome, because he would say, oh, well, I'm glad it's not a problem. I mean, he would say that under his breath, not to them.
I'm glad.
Well, I mean,
a little worried about your dad right there.
Some people are not very nice to service workers. He was plenty pleasant all the time, but he would grouse privately, right? Because he thought they should be saying you're welcome and no problem is like, yeah, I hope it's not a problem. It's your job. But the two of you and, you know, people my age hardly ever say you're welcome. And the reason for me, at least, I'm not sure passive aggressive is exactly the term, but it does feel like if I say you're welcome, I'm saying something like, congratulations that I've done this thing for you. You know,
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. It also could be sort of snarky, though, to you're welcome, you know, like, yeah, right. But what interested me the most was we had an article we found by a scholar, a linguist at University of British Columbia, and she makes a couple of interesting points. First of all, the you're welcome, and she goes backwards in time to all of these other people talking about it with, like, psychologists. And it sort of reminds me of two dogs sniffing in a dog park. There's a certain nervous relationship between people. It does, though. You ever see dogs? They get kind of like who
sure,
are you? They're
sure,
like a
sure.
little bit. But what happens really, though, is that we're a little bit nervous. We're doing an obligation sort of thing. And we're a little, mm-hmm. and you know, we're hierarchical creatures. And we're a little bit nervous about, like, you know, do you owe me something or do you not owe me something?
Yep.
When you thank the person. So basically what you're trying to do when you say, you know, no problem or whatever, is in effect, you're basically saying, look, you're not under my obligation. You know, I'm not making you obliged to me. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to, in effect, and she typifies like a typology of answers to, in present day English, of answers to thank you. She has the first one, which is called minimizing. And that usually is like, forget it, think nothing, don't worry, no bother, no problem, no prob, no worries, not a problem. Then there's one that minimizes it in a different way by saying it was a joy to do it. It was my pleasure.
Mm.
Then there's another one that's expressing appreciation. You know, you're a great person. Anything for you. Sure. Absolutely. You got it. And then there's the final one, which is becoming more common now. And I noticed that when I read the cousins one, which is just an acknowledgement. Yeah, of course. All right.
See, but to me, the yeah, of course, all right, are the same as sure. Because you go, yeah.
That actually could be the case. I mean, this is like a very broad typology, and that could be the case. And I think the key, though, is in all cases, I mean, because I think really minimizing is the really broad one. We're, in all cases, we're saying, you don't really owe me that much. Either this is my job, like your father said, Fletcher, or it's, look, I like doing this for you, or it's nothing at all. That's, I think that was a really important point here.
Since Paul singled out, of course, let's talk about that one specifically just a little bit. What do the two of you think someone is saying when they say, of course? I mean, taking it, you've already described that it's minimizing it and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I have a specific feeling when I answer, of course, to someone if they say thank you. Do either of you think anything particular about that specific phrase?
To me, a lot of it is intonation. And that's my problem with isolating it without hearing it. Because if someone goes, you know, oh, thanks, you go, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, to me, then the of course is no problem. It's like, of course, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go, of course, sort of flatly, to me, it's just sort of like it is then just throwing it off. It's so. This is where I think a lot of people, because there was a lot of articles out there saying, Specifically millennials, they said, tend to use of course more often, mm-hmm. and both younger and older found it irritating.
I don't find it irritating at all. I think, as we said before, I think it's just another form. And we had talked, we hadn't mentioned this, but these terms basically are called phatic expressions, which means they're basically formulas. They're not used really for their literal meaning and more for the social idea, like hello, good morning, how are you doing? When you ask someone, how are you doing? You don't expect like, you know, well, my lumbago hurts and my nose has been, you just basically, how you doing? Fine, good. And that in effect is what you're doing when you're doing these thanks and of course, no problem. You're just like we said before, minimizing, but you're just basically, yeah, let's go on with this now.
But now the objections to, of course, that I had read were, they said that it implied entitlement, I mean, for lack of a better term.
Mm.
They said that it was like, it's about me, it's sort of narcissistic, which I don't hear at all.
To me, it's almost the opposite. I mean, it is about me because I'm the one saying it. And this isn't exactly something that I've thought about before, but now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking about when I would answer, of course. And it does have specific times when I would answer, of course. I wouldn't say, of course, probably, to anyone in my immediate family. I probably wouldn't say it to, like, my mom and dad, but I would say it to, like, my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely,
this is interesting.
I definitely would say it to someone I work with or someone I'm doing a job for.
What about, likely, the president of whatever, I mean, you know, like a really big person, you're doing a job for this big person, the Grand Master of Raven, says Fletcher.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Fletcher, thank you for your great contributions.
If I were being presented with an award on a stage, mm-hmm. being thanked for my great contributions, then I would simply also respond, thank you.
Let me throw another one. Okay, yeah. Let me interrupt here. Let me throw another one out. Fletcher, you've really gone above and beyond the call of duty with this. You've been such a real help. What would you do then?
I would just say thank you. This is a lot of praise.
Well, because that's an honor thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the same.
Yeah.
That's not like being thanked
maybe,
the normal way.
Okay, because that's a really interesting point. Because several articles have indicated virtually all of the responses to thank you, pre-modern, before the 1800s, there were almost no you're welcomes,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
Almost none of these responses, except for one which Fletcher did in both cases, thank you. Mm-hmm. Saying thank you back to the thanker, which is really interesting too.
Yeah, and with, of course, specifically, a lot of it, like I said towards the beginning, a lot of it has to do with, I would say, of course, because it is a matter of course in my role. Of course I would do this for you because this is something that I do and I'm happy to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. And that is, though, where the people that are offended or irritated by, of course, say that's the issue because of course means something's expected or obvious. It doesn't seem, it's like obvious I do this for you. I disagree.
Yes, but you say this, this goes back to your intonation. You say this in a friendly way. You say, of course.
Yeah, you're not going,
in,
of course.
Of course, I am happy to do this for you. This is a thing that I do and I'm happy to do it for you too.
I agree.
I think we're going to chill on all of these. I don't think they really, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Of course.
Whatever, you know, of course.
I have a question, though, and it's always something that's been hard for me to wrap my head around. You have words like bitte or prego, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of mean you're welcome, but also kind of mean please,
mm-hmm.
in other languages. And
yeah, like Greek, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and so it seems like maybe that's an easier thing to negotiate when you have a word like that.
That's interesting you say that. I mean, but then we've got the opposite, oddly enough, like when people get annoyed at the of course or no problem. I mean, in Spanish, you say de nada. It's
right,
nothing.
Right.
And actually, you usually just say nada. I mean, you just go nothing, which I love.
De rien in French, too. Yeah, no, it's very much. Although in Quebec French, you say bienvenue, which is welcome.
You do?
Yeah, you do say, they say de rien, but they also say bienvenue, I think. I mean, I've heard that.
Huh.
Which means, but that's just welcome. It's not your welcome.
No, it's just welcome.
See, but that's when it ends up. We go back to the whole concept, though, of like you had said before, Ross, that these are formulas, these terms.
Yeah.
The meaning doesn't really matter ultimately.
Yeah.
It's like what it's supposed to mean, what you take it to mean.
It's what it marks in our discourse, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's where Kathy, when she said the intonation is really what counts. Like, yeah. In all of these cases, you know, like, you know, thanks a lot. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, I mean, there's a huge difference mm-hmm. there.
Well, actually, thank you, when you talk about thank you, can be like this the same thing. You can do a really sarcastic, yeah. like, oh, yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Thanks.
So therefore, the words themselves don't have as much meaning as what we're saying as do the actual, you know, the tone that you're using. One thing I wanted to say quickly, what really got me was we were looking at the when did these things basically come into use? And we can't really tell because these are written most of the time. You know, they don't have people like checking off things when people say it. But what really got us the most was how recent all of these were. Of course, enters the discourse in a big way in 1992.
Wow.
I would have. No Problem was 1974. No Prob, which apparently, I guess I say, I didn't notice it until a couple of days ago that I say it, until I had people asking, you know, listening to me. 1986.
What about No Worries, I'm curious about, because I hear No Worries a lot more than I used to.
Yeah, a lot.
And that's one that I use. I use No Biggie and No Worries, actually.
Kathy, you're brilliant. No Worries came in 1999. No Biggies, I don't see anywhere. I don't see No Biggies anywhere.
So. Well, I use it.
I know. So you're starting
a
trend.
Put that in the chart. No, because I was thinking, No Worries for me, I think, it's part of the tendency for Americans to have picked up Aussie and Britishisms. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think that came from, personally.
It's funny that it's 1999. I've mentioned before that I have a very good friend who went off for a year to university in Australia. It was pretty much exactly 1999, and he came back, and that's when I started saying No Worries. So I think we can thank him for spreading No Worries across the United States.
It's an interesting Australian export. Besides lamb, we have No Worries or whatever.
The interesting thing is I had found one. They were just like doing the informal versus the formal. The informals were No Worries, Don't Mention It, It's Nothing, Anytime, mm-hmm. Anytime. We forgot Anytime. Mm. Mm-hmm. You got it. I say that too. You got it. But formal, you don't have as many. It's interesting. You've got so many of these lines that are phatic expressions that are informal. But for the formal, the only ones they say are variations on your welcome. You're very welcome. You're quite welcome. You're truly welcome. Or just you're welcome. Mm-hmm. They say not at all is more formal. I do not hear that as formal.
I do.
Not at all feels like the casual formal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ah, not at all. They also, I've got to say, also on the list I'm looking at, they'd also listed just a trifle or a mere trifle, which I must say I have never, ever said.
Never.
Ah, a mere trifle.
That's not a biggie. No, I've never heard that either.
But it's formal. Just must.
What got me
that.
The most was that apparently Brits don't say you're welcome anywhere near as much as Americans do.
Oh.
We're much more apt to basically respond to a thank you. Another common thing is just not to respond at all. That's actually increasing as well.
Or just grunt or something. Huh.
Well, no. I don't think you do that at a fancy restaurant, though.
Yeah, there are times I just don't respond. It really depends on the situation. It has to be a very familiar relationship. But there are times I just don't respond, sure. Ross, maybe you mentioned it, but we didn't explicitly tie it together. You said toward the beginning that there was something related to I and myself and the ego that you were going to connect to what we were talking about.
Yeah, this was interesting because Kathy said the ego earlier with using myself, seeing it as egotistical. And one idea with we were talking a little bit earlier about your welcome and you bet is that basically part of this is called, it's a trend called negative politeness. We're not trying to impose, when we say no problem or whatever, we're not trying to impose our ego on other people. We're mm-hmm. saying basically, and we say like, we used to say maybe you must do this. Now we say, could you or would you mind doing? And that's a trend they were saying towards basically the idea that we're not imposing anything on anyone, including an obligation on anyone. And I myself, for example, would be seen as egotistical. And that's what I was trying to indicate.
Oh, no, I was you got me wrong, though. I was saying people use myself because excessive use of I or me seems egotistical.
Oh, no, I meant the reverse. But I'm saying they're trying to basically de-egotisticalize their language. And the use of no prob or whatever is basically saying, you don't owe me anything. I'm not going to impose myself on you.
I think that's interesting. But to be honest with you, I think that everything's over-intellectualizing this. I think it's because we've gotten much more casual. I think it's simply that.
That's the whole point.
But you said the thing about it's like obligation.
That's the whole point, though, because basically you've gone from a hierarchical society to basically a casual, everything flows society. And that's the idea. And that's exactly the idea.
Oh, I didn't understand that. I thought you were saying you're trying to make it sound like, you know, it's okay, you don't owe me anything.
We're all comrades. You know me. We're all comrades. It's all okay. That's what you're trying to say.
So as someone who has definitely thought about all of these things in my own speech, first of all, I'm a little disappointed to learn that this didn't just come out of my own head and I'm just part of a larger movement. But it is not just the tendency toward being casual for me. It is the lessening of the ego expression, for sure.
Interesting. Okay. So Ross is right.
For decades, you know, I've tried to make my language more modest. And and that's just kind of personally how I am, like, that's kind of who I am as a person. But it's like it's been a conscious thing. And like I said, now I'm disappointed to learn that it wasn't just me. I'm just part of a larger language movement. But
it's good to be part of a movement.
Yes,
it's good.
It is. But while I agree that we are getting more casual, and that is also often my goal, for me, very consciously, it's also been lessening of that ego expression.
Interesting. You're very modest, Fletcher.
Well,
that's good.
Am I, though? I mean, here I am sitting around thinking.
You're bragging about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
The funny thing to me is, because I never say you're welcome, and when I started listening, not here, because I won't hear you're welcome here, but this was years ago, I was thinking I never say you're welcome, and suddenly I heard it all the time. When you start listening, I knew every time I went to a store, they said you're welcome, and I was like shocked.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was hearing you're welcome a lot this week. I was surprised.
Being used. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I think I heard you're welcome almost equally to of course and no problem.
Yeah, see, that's the same. And that would surprise, that I would have thought it's on its way out. I just wanted to add what I loved, which I had run across, and I couldn't fit this in earlier, so I'm just tacking it on right now, that in the 15th century, they used and welcome at the end of invitations. And it was kind of like preempting the thanks. So you would say, here's a gift. Take it and welcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not like welcome in, but you're welcome to take, have it, welcome.
Right.
Which is weird.
That would never fly now. That's very like, here's this wonderful thing I'm doing for you.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about ego, really.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armia, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.